Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Today on Advanced, learn how you can help finance someone's dreams. Hi everyone, I'm Naomi, and we're here on Advanced Studio Classroom on the second day of our business article for March. Today is the 22nd, and we're learning that everyone can be an investor. We've been discussing what crowdfunding is all about, and with me to help explain once again are Nathaniel and Ellen. Welcome back.
Thank you for having us.
All right, so first of all, Ellen, what is crowdfunding?
Crowdfunding is just the idea that many people can put their money together and help start a business.
Now, usually that's not how it goes when people want to start a business. Usually, you probably need one major investor or one big loan or a lot of savings.
Yeah, that's right. One person maybe from your family or someone who's just willing to trust you with your idea can give you that money, or you might also take out a loan.
Right. Or maybe if you're very, very lucky, you have an angel investor. We learned about those yesterday. What are they?
It's a wealthy person who's going to give you your starting money so that later they can maybe receive a share in what you're doing.
Now, it sounds like because of crowdfunding, we can all kind of be angel investors in a way.
Oh, absolutely. Now, with new technology and these new ideas, we can actually solicit or ask for money from different people.
Nice. Okay. Now, if you had, let's say, I don't know, $100 extra sitting around and you thought, I would love to invest in someone's business, what kind of businesses do you think you would look at? What kinds of ideas might be appealing?
Well, you know, I haven't had a lot of friends who have come up to me and said, I wanted to start this business or make this product, but I have had a lot of friends who wanted to get into art in some way or another. And I think that's something that's often not really given a lot of financial support. So I think I would like to throw my money to something like that.
Something in the arts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ellen, how about you?
Sort of in a similar idea. I have a friend who's an up and coming. She's a new author. So she wants to write a lot of books, so I think I definitely would try to support her in
okay.
that venture.
Nice. I actually have done this once so far, where a friend of mine had a board game idea that he wanted to put together, and he had had this idea for a long time, and I got an email from him saying, so I've started this account on a campaign on Kickstarter. Do you think you might be willing to contribute something? So I went over to the site, and there's the board game that I had actually played before, his, you know, one model version that he had created. And I could support it and give money. And I thought, well, of course I want to do this. I want to support my friend. And so it was really cool to be able to participate in that in a way that was also kind of risk-free. Now, it's you could call it risk-free for a couple of reasons, and we kind of discussed a little bit about why yesterday. When you're on Kickstarter, there are some limitations on how you're allowed to raise the money, right?
Right. So on Kickstarter specifically, you must raise all of the money that you want to raise before they'll give you the actual money.
Okay, so when you sign up to give money, it's actually only a pledge. You're not really paying yet.
Yeah, that's right. You might very well get your money back if the person who has this account that you're trying to support does not reach the goal that they stated at the beginning.
Right. So when I pledge to my friend, the money didn't actually come off my account until the deadline had been reached and everyone had, you know, given actually more than he had asked for. So it's a pretty cool system. And yesterday we saw that there are some advantages to that. It kind of levels the playing field, as we sometimes say. What do I mean by that?
Right. Levels the playing field just means that everybody is on the same level. So even if somebody has a lot of money or somebody comes from a very wealthy background from money, you know, everybody kind of gets the same opportunities or the same chances.
Okay. And that hasn't really been true in the past.
No, I guess not. Like we said, there might be just a few people who give a large sum of money in support of a business.
Okay. So this is an exciting possibility for people who might not have all the connections or the wealthy friends or the savings or the ability to even get a loan that others have. And so it does provide new opportunities and new jobs for people as well. Let's learn more about how exactly the system works as we continue with our article today on page 33.
Keeping donors in the loop. While many donors are happy to give without expecting much in return, perks and frequent progress updates from fund seekers have been key ingredients in the increasing popularity in crowdfunding. Many sites require campaigns to give back a perk, ranging from personally signed postcards and Twitter shoutouts to an invitation to production sites. Blog posts and Twitter updates from project creators also keep donors engaged and help generate more funds, Strickler says. The projects that have a video succeed twice as often. Effort is just a big part of it.
So if you are on Kickstarter, if you are raising money through crowdfunding, there's some important things that you need to consider. And one of those is that you keep your donors in the loop. If you keep someone in the loop, what does that mean?
Well, you're keeping them in communication. You want to tell them what developments you're making, what goals you're reaching, if you keep them in the loop.
Okay, so for example, a manager might say, oh, that's a great idea for a project. You go ahead, you run with it, try it out, but just keep me in the loop. Let me know how it's going so if I see any problems, I can help address them. So it's that idea of sort of just staying in contact. Now, if I give my money to someone, I would like to hear how things are going, for sure. And that's exactly what people want when it comes to Kickstarter. And maybe some of them expect some other things as well, although some people are really just happy to give their cash.
Right. Some are happy to give without expecting much in return, but perks are nice. Also frequent updates.
Okay, what's a perk?
A perk is just kind of a benefit, something extra. So when we go on an airline, for example, a perk would be the slippers or the blanket or the pillow.
All right. Excellent example. So perks and frequent progress updates are really a nice part about crowdfunding. They're something that apparently they think are key ingredients.
Yeah, because you want to keep these people that are willing to support you. You want to let them know what's being done with their money. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't just want to throw it away. Of course, they might be giving it to a friend, and they do just want to support the friend. But usually if someone's giving money, especially maybe through something like Kickstarter, they want to know what's being done with it exactly.
Okay. So I think this is a really interesting point, and I think it has a lot to do with the trend that we're seeing overall, actually, in the world. I think a lot of things are becoming community-oriented in a different way. It used to be that everyone lived in, you know, small towns and knew their neighbors. That's not really true anymore. But online, it seems like communities keep developing. And so in something like this, you see this really cool phenomenon of everyone kind of supporting a little bit, $20 here, $100 there. But then they're all sort of updated and they're kept in the loop. And it's almost like they're on the team with the person who came up with the idea.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So it gives them that feel that they're still involved and that they're not just somebody who gave $20, but somebody who possibly in the future could give more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that you sort of feel attached to the whole project.
Right.
Like you care more, which I really like. Now, many sites we see in the next paragraph actually require campaigns to give back a perk.
Yeah, and there are several different kinds, as we see. These range from personally signed postcards and Twitter shoutouts to an invitation to production sites. So from basically pretty small things that can be offered to much bigger things like a tour of where a product is being made.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you range from one thing to another, what does that mean?
You're creating a spectrum. I mean, we're talking about something that's kind of on the small or low end, ranging or moving to the higher end or the bigger end. Yeah.
Okay, good. So the smaller things, a signed postcard, a Twitter shout-out, that's nice. It's fun.
Right.
A Twitter shout-out being?
A Twitter shout-out, well, Twitter is a social media network where you can write messages to people directly or indirectly. And a shout-out is just mentioning them in those comments.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. But then an invitation to a production site, now that's exciting. I mean, that's big.
Right, whether that's some kind of small factory, it might be also more of really an office space, I guess, depending on what kind of company this is. But it's inviting people to actually come and see the company in work or
right.
at work.
Right. So when I supported my friend's board game idea, I actually got a copy of the board game in the mail. And that's how he rewarded his investors. So basically, I just felt like I was buying the game, maybe for a little more money than I would have spent on it in a store. But I thought it was definitely more than worth my money, and I felt a little undercharged, actually. I thought I got more than I deserved for what I gave. So that was really nice. It didn't even really feel like an investment, so much as an expensive gift to myself. So I think that does encourage people to give. They get more excited. They're seeing an immediate benefit from the money that they're giving. But there's other things that can help people feel more confident about giving.
Well, blog posts and Twitter updates from project creators also help to keep donors engaged and help generate more funds.
Okay, so if someone is engaged, what does that mean? They're going to get married?
No. Well, that is one way to use the word. But engaged in this instance is more just to be involved, to get the donors to, as we mentioned before, feel like they're still part of the project.
Good. Sort of keep their attention and keep them a part of things. And it also does something else really important.
Yeah, it helps generate more funds. You come up with more money if you are successful at keeping people updated. Because if you do this and you get that reputation of doing this, of keeping people in the loop, you might attract more people who would finance your business.
Okay, that's a great point. And again, that's from Yancey Strickler, the co-founder of Kickstarter, who also says that videos help.
Yeah, she says the projects that have videos usually succeed twice as often. And, just putting in the effort is a huge and big part of it.
Okay, so effort is just a big part of it. What do you think that really means? Like, what's the point here? Like, basically, just don't kind of sign people up and say, okay, well, I'm trying, I think, maybe.
Well, yeah, I think if you show effort on your part, even just staying connected with people who are going to support you, it kind of indicates that you're actually going to put effort into this idea that you are proposing. So, I mean, not necessarily true. Hopefully it would be true. But I think it does help your supporters have a little bit more confidence in you.
Okay. They're not just sort of throwing their money away and never hearing anything again. And I think that does happen, unfortunately.
Mm. Right, right. I mean, it's inevitable, unavoidable, something that can't help but be happen once in a while, that, you know, people will not follow through on what they plan.
Okay, good. Or sometimes something just goes badly. You know, they
right.
start off well, but they get sidetracked or something happens.
Yeah, you know, what I think of actually is oftentimes I've had people, friends ask me maybe for a little bit of help because they want to go on a trip to another country to help some people there. There are different kinds of trips like this. And actually often in those situations, you might give them a little money, a little bit of help.
Mm-hmm.
And you really may not find out that much of what happened there, especially if they're, you know, fairly far away.
Right.
I don't usually think of that as a business investment, but there are a lot of similarities.
But as we saw in the very beginning, crowdfunding is for charities as well. And so if you are supporting someone, they say, oh, you know, I want to go to this remote part of Africa and help people, you know, dig wells. You think, great, I'll support you. And then you never hear anything about the trip. You
right.
think, well, did they even go? I don't know. And so I do think it makes a lot of sense to try to update people. It shows, credibility, right?
Right. Credibility just being the ability to trust someone.
Mm.
So if, you know, you give people updates, they will trust you more that you are actually doing what you wanted to do.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. Now, there's a lot of examples of how people who have gotten money will give back and do this, stay in touch with people who've invested, show them their progress, and so on. So let's see some examples as we continue our reading there on page 33, beginning with line 16.
Beneficiaries give back. Steve Taylor, a filmmaker in Nashville who turned to Kickstarter for his feature film, Blue Like Jazz, after original investors backed out, promised to call any donor who contributed at least $10. His project became one of the most successful Kickstarter campaigns ever, with many fans of the original book by Don Miller chipping in. Some $350,000 was collected, more than double the goal of $125,000. Taylor estimates he made about 3,500 phone calls. It took about a year to finish all the calls, he says. I loved making those phone calls. A lot of them wanted to tell me what the book meant to them. Many were mindful that I had a lot of calls to make, so they kept it short. But I never said I had to go. Fundraisers also often pledge their products as a reward. Bridge, a startup in San Francisco that is making an iPad keyboard with funds raised on Kickstarter, promises to ship a keyboard to donors who give $170. You have a lot of people who contribute because it's a product they'd want to use, says Sam Gordon, a Bridge co-founder.
So beneficiaries give back. Wow, that's a big word to start with. What is a beneficiary?
Someone who has benefited from something. And in this case, it's people who are trying to raise funds through Kickstarter. They have benefited from people who are trying to support them.
Okay, so we would keep those two words together from our two subheads today. The donor is the one who gives the money, and the beneficiary is the one who receives the money. But they want to give back, right?
Right, absolutely. As we can see in our reading, Steve Taylor, a filmmaker in Nashville, wanted to give back to his donors by promising to call any donor who contributed at least $10.
What a fascinating idea. I think this is really, really brilliant because Steve Taylor was actually fairly well known, but not as a filmmaker before he started working on this movie. He's a musician, and so people who were familiar with his work already would, I'm sure, be very excited to receive a phone call from him. But he is also a filmmaker, and what was he working on here?
His feature film, Blue Like Jazz. It looks like people were going to invest in his project, but these original investors backed out. Now, Blue Like Jazz is based on a book that was fairly well known, at least in some circles. So it kind of makes sense. I can see this happening, that a lot of people would want to support it.
Right. Well, like you said, the original investors actually backed out. And when you back out of something, I imagine like a car, driving a car.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Backed out just means to pull back on your promise. Mm. So sometimes I might promise to go to a friend's party and then back out, which means I don't go.
Right. And that's basically what these investors did.
Exactly.
They said, yes, we'll come to this movie party. Oh, wait, no, never mind. So that must have been very frustrating for Steve Taylor. But he said, no, I'm not giving up. I'm going to try Kickstarter. And, of course, he said $10 or more and you'll get a phone call. Very interesting. How did it turn out for him, Nathaniel?
Well, it was one of the most successful Kickstarter campaigns ever, and we see that he actually raised a lot more money than he originally had set out a goal to raise.
Okay, so it was some $350,000 was collected. So when we use some in that context there, we sort of just mean about or around that number. So a lot of money by any standards, but the interesting part is that it was more than double his goal.
Right. He initially wanted to only raise about $125,000, so the $350,000 is about double.
Okay. So it sounds like a lot of people were really excited about this project, and I think a lot of them were fans of the original book. Have you read it?
I have read the original book. It says there, the original book by Don Miller, many of the fans of that book were chipping in, giving a little bit of money because they really enjoyed the book and they wanted to maybe see it as a film.
Okay. I really enjoyed that book. I would absolutely recommend it if any of you are interested in a bit of a more challenging read, more of a novel type of book. Although I guess it's autobiographical, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of stories about his basically spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's an interesting book, and I could see why people would want to support this movie. So in the end, did Steve Taylor come through on his promise to his donors?
Absolutely. He estimates that he made about 3,500 phone calls.
Wow, I don't know if I've made that many phone calls in my life.
It was probably a pretty big phone bill.
Yeah, but what does he say about the experience?
Well, it says it took about a year to finish all the calls. I could imagine calling that many people, about 3,500 of them. But he says that I loved making those phone calls. So it actually maybe wasn't only good for his supporters, but he might have actually found some value in doing it himself.
Right. It sounds like it's a pretty crazy promise to make and that maybe it's the kind of thing someone would regret. But it doesn't sound like he regrets it at all.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I think it also shows that he put effort into it. You know, it showed his supporters that he was very serious about what he wanted to do.
Yeah, very committed. And it sounds like his supporters are also a very considerate bunch of people.
Right. A lot of them wanted to just tell him that the book meant a lot to them. But others were also just mindful, or they were aware and conscious that he had a lot of calls to make. So they actually kept the conversations quite short.
Yeah, which is kind of nice. He says, well, I never said I had to go, but actually a lot of people didn't keep me on the phone very long. I guess he was expecting that a lot of people would think, ooh, now's my chance.
Mm-hmm. But thankfully they were understanding. They realized maybe he does have to make a lot of these calls, but we're just glad to hear from him and you know, kind of have this project validated.
Right. Okay, now as we continue up to the second column on this page, we see that a lot of fundraisers also often pledge their products as a reward, like my friend Brett did with his board game. And we see some other examples here.
Right. Bridge, which is a startup in San Francisco, a city in the United States, were making iPad keyboards, and they were trying to fundraise on Kickstarter. And they promised to ship a keyboard to anybody who donated over $170.
Okay, so if you donate $170 or more, then you get your keyboard included, which, I think it's a really solid idea because it basically just means that you're paying probably a little more than you would have in a store to buy something that you already want. And like we saw on the first day, you want it to exist.
Right. Yeah, you see that this is a good product. You think, well, I might invest in this just for myself at some point, but I want to see it go to others as well. In this case, you're kind of killing two birds with one stone because Ooh. You're getting the product yourself while maybe giving a little bit extra to help the company in general.
Okay. Killing two birds with one stone?
Right, yeah. Like I said, you want to accomplish kind of two different goals, and you do one thing to accomplish both things at once.
Right, good. So that's the kind of thing that is involved here with Kickstarter. If you do pledge some money, then you get something besides just a nice warm feeling in your soul. And so I guess everyone's a winner. And according to the Bridge co-founder, Sam Gordon, what does he say?
He says that a lot of people do contribute because they do just want the product that is being created.
Okay. So that's exactly the kind of campaign that you want to have. You want to be creating something that people will buy anyway.
Right.
Well, let's go to today's feature.
Frank, I want to be an entrepreneur and open up a chain of Chodofu restaurants.
Honey, could you pass me the sugar, please? Thanks. What was that you said?
I'm planning a startup business, Chicago's first Chodofu restaurant. And then I plan on expanding to 25 different cities.
Are you feeling okay?
I feel great.
Sally, you must be mindful of the fact that nobody in Chicago knows what Chodofu is.
Actually, Frank, I've done a lot of research, and Chicago has many immigrants from Asia who miss Chodofu. My research generated a lot of interest in the people I spoke with.
interest?
So much that I set up a webpage with Kickstarter. And I've collected $10,000 in seed money over the past week. Soon, I'll have $100,000 in equity and be able to open the first store.
Like I said, Sally, I think it's a great idea. I love your chō tofu. It's the best in Chicago.
You never said it was a great idea. You sounded quite skeptical when I mentioned it.
Sally, I would never practice any chicanery with you. Maybe I should investigate Kickstarter and see what kind of business I can start.
Why don't we just focus on this chō tofu restaurant idea for now? If it's successful, it could be a mechanism for other ventures.
Okay, let's give this a shot and see what happens. $100,000, eh?
That's my money, Frank, for my chō tofu business.
Yes, dear.
So, as we can see, when you know that you're going to be a part of the process and you're going to be kind of in a community of people that are working on this kind of project, I think it could be really exciting to get involved.
Oh, absolutely. It's, you know, most of us kind of like our routines. And, you know, when things like this or good ideas come out, it's very exciting to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's something to kind of look forward to. Yeah. Would you feel maybe more likely to invest in something if you knew you were getting a perk, Nathaniel?
Oh, I might want to say, well, no, if it's a good idea, I would want to invest anyway. But I think that a perk would attract most people, yeah.
I agree. So, again, please let us know your thoughts. What kind of perks would you enjoy if you were going to invest in something? What would sway you, motivate you, convince you to invest more? Let us know on Facebook or at Studio Classroom. And, of course, we always welcome your letters as well, advanced@studioclassroom.com. Please come back tomorrow for the last day of our business article.